Good morning. Welcome to Saturday School at Running for Christ Ministries on Blog Talk Radio. It is truly just sitting here resonating on that song, the Lord being the source of our strength and the strength of our life. So with that, let us pray. Father, this morning we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through the pages of Scripture, and personally, you're continually revealing yourself to us. We just ask right now, by the power of your Spirit, that you teach us, guide us, and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, good morning. It may be cold outside here, but it is warm inside, knowing that you all are there. Good to hear you. Tune in if you can. Listen in, you must, because it's Saturday and we're going to school. We are still in the theme of we believe, not just knowing what, but why. Because I've encountered in my many years of being saved, but also being a teacher, that a lot of people know information, but they don't know why they believe what they believe. You know, they can recite and regurgitate, but when you ask the deeper questions, why do you believe that Jesus is God? Why do you believe that there is a God? Most people can quote a scripture, but we can't really tell you why we believe it. They have to be based on facts. It's not based on feelings. So we're going deep. And our study right now is we believe in redemption. And we have been looking at the word redemption and what it means in the Greek, the word apollotrosis, which means to ransom in full, deliverance, salvation. And we've talked about words that we feel like are associated with that, the word to be kidnapped, the word to be held hostage or enslaved or imprisoned. And so currently we are studying the life of Joseph because he is one of our early stories, not the earliest story, but one of our earliest stories about how God is redeeming humanity. Just a little bit for your information, do you know that that really is pretty much the story of the Bible? It's about how God is redeeming his creation, all of creation, from what sin and death, from sin and death. I'm going to take a quick sip of coffee. So how's he doing it? Through the second word that we have, if you have your sheets, providence. And this is Dr. A.R. Bernard's definition of providence. God guiding and sustaining humanity, especially those covenant relationship with him. And so we start out with knowing that, oh, let me ask this question to the class. How does God deal with humanity? Let's see if anybody can answer this morning. I know it's early.
How does he deal with
the word of God?
Okay, let me kind of bring the question in a little bit because that's kind of broad. How does God execute his will through humanity?
Through his word.
Okay, it is in his word. I'm going to give you some words, some letters, and see if you can, let's do like a Wheel of Fortune. C-O- B, E, N.
Oh, covenant.
Covenant.
Oh.
Covenant. You get the car as soon as they find the keys.
How about the C-O-B?
Through covenant. Through covenant. God has been making a covenant. He made an initial covenant with Adam and Eve when he created them. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. And then he went on, he made covenants with Noah. And then he made a covenant with a special man named Abraham. And the same covenant he made with Abraham, that his ancestors would be as numerous as the sands of the sea. Through him, all the nations of the world will be blessed. He also made it with Abraham's son, who is Isaac. And he also made that same covenant through Jacob, who God changed his name from usurper to Israel, one who contends with God. So now we're looking at Israel's descendants. How many sons did Jacob slash Israel have?
Twelve
sons. Now, here's a trivia question. How many women did he have those 12 sons by?
Two, three.
One short.
Three?
Four.
Four.
Yes. Remember, he married Rachel and Leah, the sisters, and then they gave their handmaids, Bilha and I forget the other one's name, to help produce. So he, through four women, he birthed all of these 12 sons and a daughter that we know of named Dinah. Okay, so we're going to focus on, we've been focusing on Joseph. Joseph is son number 11 of the 12, but Jacob sees Joseph as, okay, let me make sure I don't butcher this Hebrew word, his Behor. He sees Joseph as his firstborn son. And he proved it by giving him this striped coat. It was the coat of honor. The firstborn son was the one who got the designation of getting a double portion when the father passes on. The firstborn gets a double portion. The firstborn becomes responsible for the family. And I'm emphasizing this because this is going to play out through the rest of Joseph's story, that he is going to literally become Jacob's Behor, his firstborn, in the practice. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. Today, we're going to go off paper because there is a redemption story within this redemption story of Joseph. And it's odd in its placement, but it's divine where it's been placed. We read Genesis chapter 37 in the New International Version last week. And we're going to look at Genesis chapter 38 today. Again, it's not on your sheet, but you're going to do some writing because you're going to want to pay attention to this story and see how it plays heavily into God's overall redemption story. So I'm going to need a good reader. I know my voice is out there, the one who I said should be reading on our own Bible app. Genesis chapter 38, and I need somebody to read the entire story of Judah and Tamar.
So the entire chapter 38?
The entire chapter 38.
Okay, it reads as follows. At that time, Judah left his brothers and went down to stay with a man of Adullam named Hira. There Judah met the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua. He married her and made love to her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son who was named Er. She conceived again and gave birth to a son named Onan. She gave birth to still another son and named him Shelah. It was at Kezib that she gave birth to him. Judah got a wife for his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight. So the Lord put him to death. Then Judah said to Onan, "Sleep with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to raise up offspring for your brother." But Onan knew that the child would not be his. So whenever he slept with his brother's wife, he spilled his semen on the ground to keep from providing offspring for his brother. What he did was wicked in the Lord's sight. So the Lord put him to death also. Judah then said to his daughter-in-law, Tamar, "Live as a widow in your father's household until my son Shelah grows up." For he thought, he may die too, just like his brothers. So Tamar went to live in her father's household. After a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. When Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah to the men who were shearing his sheep, and his friend Hira, the Adullamite, went with him. When Tamar was told, "Your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to shear his sheep," she took off her widow's clothes, covered herself with a veil to disguise herself, and then sat down at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that, though Shelah had now grown up, she had not been given to him as his wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. Not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law, he went over to her by the roadside and said, "Come now, let me sleep with you." "And what will you give me to sleep with you?" she asked. "I'll send you a goat from my flock," he said. "Will you give me something as a pledge until you send it?" she asked. He said, "What pledge should I give you?" "Your seal and its cord and the staff in your hand," she answered. So she gave them to her and slept with her, and she became pregnant by him. After she left, she took off her veil and put on her widow's clothes again. Meanwhile, Judah sent the young goat by his friend, the Adullamite, in order to get his pledge back from the woman, but he didn't find her. He asked the men who lived there, "Where is the shrine prostitute who was beside the road at Enaim?" "There hasn't been any shrine prostitute here," they said. So he went back to Judah and said, "I didn't find her. Besides, the men who live there said, there hasn't been any shrine prostitute here." Then Judah said, "Let her keep what she has, or we will become a laughingstock. After all, I did send her this young goat, but you didn't find her." About 3 months later, Judah was told, "Your daughter-in-law, Tamar, is guilty of prostitution, and as a result, she is now pregnant." Judah said, "Bring her out and have her burned to death." As she was being brought out, she sent a message to her father-in-law, "I am pregnant by the man who owns thee," she said, and she added, "See if you recognize whose seal and cord and staff these are." Judah recognized them and said, "She is more righteous than I, since I wouldn't give her to my son Shelah." And he did not sleep with her again. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. As she was giving birth, one of them put out his hand. So the midwife took a scarlet thread and tied it on his wrist and said, "This one came out first." But when he drew back his hand, his brother came out, and she said, "So this is how you have broken out." And he was named Perez. Then his brother, who had the scarlet thread on his wrist, came out, and he was named Zerah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister. All right, so we have whoever says the Bible is boring does not read it. Because right here we have our own little soap opera going on. But back to our redemption theme. In this story of Judah and Tamar, we find that Judah's married. Judah left his brothers, apparently, after the situation with Joseph, who, you know, Judah was instrumental in that situation because Judah was the one who proposed that they sell Joseph instead of killing him. So Judah sells his brother Joseph into slavery, and then he does something different. Usually in that culture, they all stay with their fathers. The family stays together, but Judah goes off away from his family. And when he goes off, he marries a Canaanite woman and he has a son, and his son's name is Ur. But this son dies. So who is the, what, in order for Ur's family line to continue in Eastern culture, it was customary that the next brother would impregnate the wife, and that firstborn son would be dedicated to the brother that died to project, to keep his line going. So Ur was married to Tamar, and Ur died because the Bible just, and it truly says right there in verse 7, Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight. What he did, we don't know. But whatever he did, it brought about his death. It says that the Lord put him to death. So when Ur died, it was the obligation of his next brother, Onan, to impregnate his wife, Tamar, which when you read, and it's very picturesque, he did not do. So right off the bat, there are two people who are in need of redemption. One who needs to, whose line needs to be ransomed in full. And then there's one other who needs to be saved. Because this oldest child, the oldest son, would inherit Ur's part, and that would provide for Tamar. So what two people need redemption right off the bat?
Tamar, Ur and Tamar.
Ur and Tamar. All right. We got a good class today. They listen. Okay. So we got Ur. His line needs to be maintained. And if not, it'll just be lost. Ur will have no descendants. The story won't go. Redemption doesn't come to Ur. And then Tamar, because she needs to be made whole. She needs to be protected and taken care of. Problem in the Bible early on. When sin enters the picture, there's something else that enters that man starts doing. And one of it is sexual immorality enters the picture. You didn't have in the garden, you didn't have prostitution and rape and all of these things in the garden. Is only after the falls, and even to the point where when we get to the story of Noah, we know that there in Genesis chapter 6, there's some type of sexual deviation that has come about where God, it contributes to God flooding the earth. So here, when Onan sleeps with Tamar, but not for the purpose of reproducing, he treats her like a prostitute. What did God do to Onan because of his treatment of Tamar?
Put him to death also.
Yes. Because he's not treating her as his brother's wife, which would be similar to treating him as his own wife, because he doesn't want to build up his brother's house. So if he didn't want to build up his brother's house, he could have just said, I'm not doing it. But instead, he chose to sleep with her.
Mm-hmm.
So he's treating her for his own sexual gratification, not for the purpose of reproducing, being fruitful, multiplying, redeeming Ur's house. So the Lord, when the Lord puts him to death, Judah's faced with a dilemma because he has a young son, Salah. And when he has this son, Judah does something in verse 11 that, again, goes against his own culture. In Eastern culture, when a woman marries a man, she would leave her family and would become beholden to her husband's family. Her husband's family becomes her family. They didn't use the term in-law or in love. They just said, this is my mother, this is my father. We see this played out in the book of Ruth when Ruth bound herself to Naomi because she's basically, when a woman leaves, she's saying, I'm attaching to a new family, and this is my new family. But when you look at Genesis 38:11, what did Judah do to Tamar?
He sent her back to her parents' household.
So he disconnected her from her family for fear, because he feared that he would lose Salah too. We're dealing with a superstitious culture as well. My first son died. My second son died. If this woman gets with my third son, he's going to die too. But remember, God has got a covenant with Jacob, which extends to his children. But remember, Judah's also moved away from his family where he could be reminded of the covenant that God has made. So just a little sidebar. Whenever you move away from the group that shares the covenant, you lose sight of the providence of God, that God is working on behalf. Okay, that's the sidebar for today. All right. So now we have Tamar at home, we have Salah with Judah, and Salah grows up to be probably 13, 14, a young man capable of marrying in that culture and reproducing. And Tamar finds out that he's old enough to be married and that Judah hasn't sent for her to come back. So she devises a plan. What was her plan?
She covered her face and had a relation with Judah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She pretended to be a shrine prostitute, which was common because we got to remember these are idolatrous people. This is another little side. Idolatry, worship away from the true and living God, generally idol worship, temple worships, generally consisted of some form of sexual immorality. So you see that throughout Scripture. There's prostitution, there's all kinds of orgies and all kinds of sexual deviations away from what God, you know, again, the appetite as opposed to the purpose. So you see that common amongst Scripture all the way from ancient times, even now, all the way from Old through the New Testament. So she pretends to be a prostitute, and here Judah is. He's a widower. So now his two sons have died and his wife has died. And so he sleeps with this prostitute, but he doesn't have money because they didn't deal pretty much in currency. There was an exchange. He was supposed to give her what in exchange for sleeping with her?
A young goat.
All right. She's supposed to get a young goat, but what did he give her instead?
His steel of court staff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So basically he gave her his passport
and his hand
and his credit card. And I'm going to come back and get it from you. That's what he gave, his seal. That meant his ability to do business. Judah, son of Jacob, that's how I'm doing business. His pledge, you know, in exchange for you keep this, and when I come back, this will be my payment, you know. So he gave her basically his passport, his ID, and his credit card. And he says, I'll be back when I will send for you, get the young goat, and come back. What happens when the guy goes to give the goat?
She wasn't nowhere to be found.
She was at the house.
She went back to her daddy's house.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's something in verse 23, verse 22 it says, so we went back to Judah and told him, I didn't find her. Besides, the men who lived there said, there hasn't been any shrine prostitute here.
Mm-mm.
If, Ju- If Judah was familiar with the culture, he would have known where the prostitutes were. Everybody had a red light district. But obviously he wasn't, because the men said, there's no shrine prostitute here, which means there's probably no shrine there for there to be a prostitute. So he didn't know this. He didn't pay attention, and so he realized, I've been played. I've been made a fool of. Let her just keep it. We tried to give her the goat. Let her keep the stuff. I'm good. Look, he's supposed to be redeeming his property in exchange for the goat. But now he's willing to give away his property to cover his shame. So who else is in need of redemption in this story?
Judah.
Mm-hmm. Judah. Because, again, his privilege, his pledge, his seal, those belong to his father's house. That's his connection to his identity, his home. That's his pledge. When I give this, I'm saying Jacob, that rich guy, that's my daddy, he's going to cover this. And he's giving away his birthright. Who else gave away their birthright for something?
Some food. Who gave it away for some food?
Esau. Another thing that the Bible, there are patterns of behavior in Scripture. There's patterns of different types of patterns, and this is a pattern, something we've seen before. Esau, who was Jacob's brother, so Uncle Esau gave away his birthright just to eat. And here Judah gives away something connected to his birthright, his identity, just for a little bit of sex. So he is ashamed. He's in need of redemption. He's in need of redemption. So, 3 months later, what happened?
She announces her, no, the family announces her pregnancy.
Well, he was going to kill her, I think. She was going to have her killed.
It's revealed that Tamar's pregnant. Mm-hmm. And Judah says, do what?
Kill her.
Have her burned to death.
Mm-hmm.
And Judah is making this pronouncement because, again, the culture is Tamar belongs to Judah's family. That's his daughter. But remember, he sent her away back to her family. But here he comes, and he's like, let's burn her. Bring her out and burn her. Because she shamed my family. But what happens?
He says, I'm pregnant by the man who owns thee.
So who shamed who?
Ha, ha, ha.
She's darling, all shamed him.
Yes. She put, and he even says it. Look at verse 26. Somebody read verse 26.
Judah recognized them immediately and said, she is more righteous than I am because I didn't arrange for her to marry my son Shelah. And Judah never slept with Tamar again.
He said that she is more what?
Righteous.
More righteous.
Because she did the right thing. Because she knows that Judah was supposed to bring about her redemption. And so even though she used trickery, deception, it wasn't that deception is never right, but she is more righteous than Judah because he wasn't even trying to do the right thing. Another little piece of information. Anybody know what the name Tamar means in Hebrew?
No, I don't know.
Does it mean righteous?
Right. Yeah, who just said that?
Righteous cat.
Yes. It means righteous. I just learned that this week in my study. Tamar means righteous. So here, I mean, it's just like God's got his hand written all over this. Her name means righteous. And she did the right thing. She was, because even though it was the wrong way, she was more righteous than Judah. So she's getting her redemption now. She gives birth. And who does she give birth to?
Perez and Zerah.
How many brothers was she married to?
One.
Two?
She married her, and then she was given to Onan. So she marries two brothers, and they both were wicked. And so here God gives her two sons.
Wow.
And the two sons, of course, are Zerah and Perez. And here we have Perez, who Zerah put his hand out first, so that's where they put the cord on to show which baby came out first, but then he pulls his hand back in, and Perez comes out first. Similar, not the same, but we have a story of somebody holding on to somebody's heel when he comes out.
Jacob and Esau.
Jacob and Esau. Two again, twins. So we know twins running that family. But also, so here is Perez. Why am I focusing on this? Because remember, this is the story, redemption, the ransom in full. We got needing redemption. And so now here, Tamar has given birth to Perez and Zerah. So she's not just got one son, she's got two sons. So if something happens to one, the other one, you know, so she's made whole. She's ransomed. We have his house is built up now. He has two sons for his household. But now also let's look at the redemption of Judah. All right? So we got our Bibles, right? Go to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, and somebody read for me verses 8 through 10. Verses 8 through 10 of Genesis 49.
So it says, Judah, your brothers will praise you. You will grasp your enemies by the neck. All your relatives will bow before you. Judah, my son, is a young lion that has finished eating its prey. Like a lion, he crushes and lies down, like a lioness who dares to rouse him. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. He ties his foal to a grapevine, the coat of his donkey to a choice vine. He washes his clothes.
Stop.
Okay.
You can stop.
11.
In verse 10. That's okay.
Okay. Until the coming of one who belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we have Jacob. Before he dies, he blesses his 12 sons. Well, he's over his 12 sons, because all of them not quite as nice of blessing. So when he gets to Judah, look at the phrases he uses with Judah. He says, Judah, your brothers will praise you. Now, if you've read through Genesis, chapters, verses 37 to 50, there's no place in there you're going to read where Judah's brothers are praising him. And he says that your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. We don't really get much more of the story of Judah, the man.
Mm.
Your father's sons will bow down to you. And then it uses the reference, like a lion. Talking about Judah. But not talking about Judah. But verse 10 is the key. It says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations will be his.
Mm.
Jacob is speaking a blessing over Judah's life because Judah's redemption is tied into this. I'm gonna keep showing you, right? All right, so we got this picture, this blessing from Jacob over Judah. And not just speaking to Judah the man, but Judah the tribe. This will be a tribe. Judah's line, his family line.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's look a little deeper. Go to the book of Ruth, chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4. And somebody read verse 12. And then read from verse 12 down to verse 18.
It reads as follows. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Amen?
Verse 18.
Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Amen.
You can. Thank you. All right. Who did Tamar give birth to?
Perez and Onan.
Jesse?
Tamar gave birth to the twins, Perez and Zera. But here it is mentioned that the offspring, in verse 12, the offspring the Lord gives you by the young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. Who is in Perez's family line?
Okay.
Famous person in the Bible.
David.
Remember, we're talking about Judah's redemption, that the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until the one whom it belongs to. So we have from Perez, from Judah, we got Perez, and through Perez's line, we get to Israel's second greatest king, their greatest king, but their second king, which is David, right?
Okay.
So y'all got that, right? Let's keep going, because we're talking about Judah's redemption. Go to Matthew chapter 1. and somebody read the first three verses of Matthew chapter 1.
This is a record of the ancestors of This is a record of the ancestor of Jesus, the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram.
You can stop Ram, right there.
Okay.
All right. So we got here. We got Perez's name again, but now we
right.
have a deeper picture. We have mentioned Abraham. Remember, God's in covenant with Abraham and his
right.
son Isaac and his son Jacob. And here, Jacob is the father of who?
Judah and his brothers.
Isaac.
Judah and his brothers. And Judah's son is, Judah is the father of who?
Perez and Zerah.
Perez and Zerah. Mm-hmm. But Perez, whose genealogy are we reading?
Jesus.
The genealogy of Jesus. And because they wanted us to make sure we get this, it appears again in the book of Luke. I know y'all got Bible turning this morning. Luke chapter 3, somebody first read verse 23.
Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his public ministry. Jesus was known as the son of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Eli. Keep going.
You can now go down the verse and read verses 33 and 34.
Dishon was the son of Aminadab. Aminadab was the son of Abnon. Abnon was the son of Arni. Arni was the son of Hezron. Hezron was the son of Perez. And Perez was the son of Judah. Judah was the son of Jacob. Jacob was the son of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Abraham was the son of Terah. Terah was the son of Nahor.
Okay, thank you. Now,
mm-hmm.
now you see why it's important, even though we don't like to read all those names, but to read the genealogies.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to Genesis chapter 49, and let's look at that blessing again. And we will finish up with Judah's redemption. Genesis chapter 49, and again, in verse 8 where it says that your father's sons will bow down to you. Now, we know Jacob's sons did not bow down to Judah. They do bow down to the other brother, but we'll get to that. And then it mentions that a lion's cub. What is another name for Jesus?
Lion.
The lion of what?
Judah.
The lion of the tribe of Judah.
Judah.
So we have the lion's cub. And then it says that the scepter... A scepter, you know what a scepter is. That's the, like, not
that's
the wand.
The one. Yeah.
With the king, you know, King Charles will get one. He got a scepter in one hand and an orb in the other hand. The scepter
mm-hmm.
is like a ruling device. And it says that the scepter will not depart from Judah. In other words, the king will be from the tribe of Judah. But this is not just any king. This is a king to whom all of it belongs, and the obedience of the nations belong to him.
Okay.
So who is this blessing on Judah pointing to?
Jesus. You don't get all the attributes.
And who is our Redeemer?
Jesus Christ.
Do we believe in redemption?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Remember, this is not just knowing what, just some information, but why we believe. Because it was prophesied. Jacob was prophesying over Judah. Not just the man, but the tribe who was going to come through the line of Judah. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The Messiah. The one whom the obedience of the nations belong. The ultimate king. So here we see, looking through those passages, that Judah's redemption is also on the way. To redeem him from what he lost, to redeem him from his selfish acts, to redeem him even from selling his own brother into slavery.
Yeah.
We see how complete redemption is. It's not just about getting me out of this one situation. It is about redeeming his whole life and his family line to fulfill the purposes of God. So I hope you all see the picture now and
yes.
Understanding why it's important to read the genealogies. I know. It's like me reading through the Book of Numbers. I don't like reading 32,500 in this tribe, but they have
right.
Importance.
I remember that.
They have importance, and especially in regards to God's covenant. Remember that word providence. God guiding and sustaining humanity, especially those in covenant relationship. Even though Judah was not the greatest man, God did not remove the scepter from his line because it would bring about his redemption ultimately.
Mm.
That's our lesson for today. Any comments or questions?
Thank you.
Good class. So it just keeps going on and on and on, and everybody that's doing something, they're going to be redeemed for what they do. Is that what you were saying? So with the last person, you say he's going to be redeemed also. That's why Jesus didn't take the scepter from him?
Ultimately, when God has God's purpose is God's purpose is redemption, to redeem all of creation, to restore us, to bring us back to him. And so those of us who are in covenant relationship, we're in new covenant relationship under Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still working and guiding and sustaining all of humanity, but especially those in covenant relationship, because those relationships have promises built in that God must fulfill. So that's why when Jesus says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, he's talking to us who are in covenant relationship with him. That this is actually Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes, who are in covenant relationship with him. God works things out. God in his providence is working things out. So ultimately, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are being redeemed. Deliverance is coming day in and day out for us in situations. We're delivering us from sin, delivering us, and we ultimately, our bodies will be redeemed because death has no hold on us. We will reign and rule eternally with him. So this is the bigger redemption story built into, but we're looking at smaller pieces to get the bigger picture. I hope this is helping.
Boy, you broke that down. That was good. It's like watching a movie.
There it was.
No,
you should have heard when she did. You should have heard when she did Revelation a long time ago in the basement at the church. That was a great
one. I'll tear that one up, and I got a whole new revelation on Revelation, but that's for another time.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
I want
that
one. I can't wait. When you did that, you opened my eyes to a lot of stuff when you did Revelation.
Yeah. God is continuing to reveal himself to all of us. And so we just got to see it. as we were reading the story in Ruth, you know, the book of Ruth, that is another redemption story. So if you read in the book of Ruth, think of it. And as you're reading, think about, is God's plan, God's redeeming, is when you see how he deals with Israel and everything, it's just consistent throughout all of Scripture that he's redeeming, even in the church. God is redeeming. God is ransoming in full. He's ransomed us in full, but he's still delivering. He's still saving. It's not just a one-time act. It's continual.
Right.
And it will
right.
be until we get to, until we with him. So.
Okay.
All right.
That's
beautiful.
I'm done.
And that's a song, Our Redeemer Lives. So thank you, Sister Janice. That was a good lesson. You want to pray us out or you want me
that's
to?
That's true.
Do,
yeah. I will close us out. Father,
thank you.
We thank you for redemption. We thank you for Jesus, who truly did, as the songwriter was right, paid it all. There's nothing that we can do to redeem ourselves. He and he alone is our redeemer. We thank you for you keeping your word that the scepter has not departed from Judah. And we know that it came, and it came in the form of Jesus. Right now, Lord, we're just asking you to bless the rest of the service as we go forward, remembering who we worship. We don't worship some God somewhere. We worship the one true living Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.
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 Now, is that the end of that lesson, or are we coming back next week with more of that?
Oh, next week we're coming back to Joseph, because Joseph, we left him off in slavery. We've got to see his redemption. So.
Oh, good deal. Can't wait to hear more. Oh, that was good. Thank you, Sister Janice. We appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Beautiful day.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, your crumpets, and after this selection, we will start our morning service.
I'm restored, and I've been I know his name. Thank you for my storm. I'm restored, and I've been rewarded. I'm redeemed from guilt and shame. Never rejected, just reconnected. Now I'm exalted, because I know his name.
I like this part right here.
Great. Great, great song. Restored. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Block Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to our Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Run for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we'll start out with scripture and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own mother, Irma Miller. Good morning. Thank you for being with us.
And good morning to you and everyone that is listening. Thank the Lord for the time with you. Thank the Lord. Amen. Our prayer and scripture for the morning. Wisdom from God, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. And it reads, this is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined that God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that the person owns a person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord. Our prayer is, Lord God, our Father, we ask that you will fill our Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, everyone who will take part in this worship service now or later. Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to offer you up to you some much deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and preached word lift up Jesus so that all those who are lost today will be found today. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen. God bless you all, and have a wonderful day and a blessed Thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. That was our very own Mother Irma Miller, and she is back in the saddle, and it's always good to hear her voice. And we just thank you for that scripture and prayer. We appreciate you so much, and just have a beautiful day.
And thank you. I appreciate being back with you. God bless everyone. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
It's the Prince of Praise, Byron Cage, with Pajam. Come on.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and everything that's within me. Come on. I will bless his name. Is there anybody in this place that is here to bless him? Let me hear you make some noise. Come on. Here we go. Set. Magnify.
Magnify the Lord with me.
Come on. Sing it to him. Sing it.
Whom the Son he has redeemed.
Come on. Set. Clap your hands.
I'm
too afraid of
Pastor Kay's just saying, Philippians 4:6, he say, hey, don't worry about anything. Tell God about everything. Pray to him. Amen. And remember what God has done. And guess what? You will bless the Lord at all times. That's a good thing. Amen. You know, we need a lot of help in this life. I don't know about you, but I need help. Amen. I need help. And you know what? Every time I wake up and need help, God give me help. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to recognize that all my help comes from the Lord.
Come from the Lord.
Somebody look at your neighbor and say, amen. Oh, I'm looking at my window. Well, my neighbor across the street anyway. Praise the Lord, because we got all the help we need. That's what the psalmist say, amen, in the New Living Translation. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I got everything I need. All my help comes from him, not them. So stop getting mad at people when they say, I can't help you. Your help don't come from them. It comes from him. God got people. Amen. When God's people come help you, you don't owe them nothing. Did you hear what I just said? When God sends people to help you, you don't owe them nothing. Adam didn't owe nothing. You know, I've had to really study what God gave before a man gave to God. Amen. And Adam didn't praise God for it. Adam didn't pray to God for it. Adam didn't worship God for it. He needed help before he got here. So guess what? God put it all in the earth. And all he had to do was keep and dress the garden. Amen. So guess what? When you try to start praising people, you can give thanks to God for his people who came and helped you, but every praise belongs to...
Let me hear the worshiper! Where's all of my praise? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Yeah.
worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Yes, he is. Every praise is to our God. Pastor, as always, you took us there, and we just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts truly have been moved and encouraged. Thank you. Appreciate you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own sister, Deaconess Dr. June Rogers, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our very own Deaconess June Rogers' pray to the Lord. Amen.
Yes. One faith in his name. Ooh, it's a good thing I can't sing, or y'all would have, when Pastor O opened that mic, I would have been singing. But I try to be mindful of that fact that he might open up that mic a little early. And Lord knows, I don't want to run y'all out of here. So I'll just say what she said. Yes, I'm safe. And you know what? You're safe in the Lord's arms too. And it's important for us to know that, because it can cut down on a whole lot of stress. In the middle of one of them storms coming up on you, it to just know that you can just say, peace, be still. Just like Jesus quieted those waters, he'll do that for the storms in your life, and you'll be okay. So just try to remember that always, when you're going through, that you are safe in his arms. And so this morning, we, you know, keep that in your mind, that you are safe, and you're safe in his arms because his arms are much bigger than ours. God is all powerful. There is not one single thing that we can ask him to do that he can't do. The question is whether or not it's according to his will. So we're going to join together this morning in a prayer that's according to his will. And the reason I know it's according to his will is because we're not going to ask for anything that goes contrary to his word. The word of God is the will of God. The will of God is the word of God. Let us pray. This is the day you made, Lord. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We see our lives in this day as a gift from you, the one who made everything seen and unseen. You are the one who holds our entire world. To the holy, great, awesome, and wonderful Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor now and forever. And we are so honored to be able to come before you. We thank you for Jesus, who made a way out of no way for us to have a relationship with you. We know that he is the bridge that allows you to hear every word that we are about to utter, whether that is verbally or whether it goes from heart to heart. We know that we have access to you because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning, I believe you have led me by way of the Holy Spirit to lead a conversation with you about the condition of our hearts. It would seem that every one of us has some degree of heart trouble. It might just be periodic stress that we put on our hearts by holding on to some anger here and there. Or it could be a moderate heart issue where endurance is the problem. Such persons can do what you ask in the short term, but lingering anger about past hurts interferes with their ability to heal. And then there are the chronic, acute, particularly serious heart issues reaching the point of a heart attack. I am hoping that very few are in this critical condition where they are always so mad and angry, easily offended and rage-filled that they cannot even hear you. Oh, Lord, help us with the heart trouble, and especially forgive us, Lord, for just as Jesus said, we know not what we are doing. But through this prayer, Father, I ask that you help us to see exactly what we are doing, how we are harming ourselves, other people, and our relationship with you. That last one just mentioned, getting so angry that we cannot hear from you, does that happen? Well, in Ephesians 4:26-27, you said in our anger, we should not sin. You said, don't let the day end still being angry. And you said, do not give the devil a foothold. Clearly, if we turn the reins over to the devil, then we're not listening to you. Wow, thank you for that revelation. But, Lord, some would say that you get angry, and that since you made us in your image, how can you expect that we would not get angry? That is true. You do get angry, and there are all kinds of examples throughout the Bible that explain what happens when you do get angry. But you do not sin, and we are not you. We are filthy, flesh-driven humans. In James chapter 1, we are instructed to be slow in becoming angry because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires, that you desire. Okay, got it. So if we really want to do what you desire, God, we need to work on dealing with responding to situations that typically result in our becoming angry. We need to basically decide in advance to stop doing the same thing
over and over and expecting different results. Check. Well, Father, you know before this whole subject of anger came up this morning, yesterday I started speaking with you about judging one another. Until now, I did not see how the two subjects were connected, and I was going to remove those comments from this particular conversation, but now I see. So, Jesus, you said that we should not judge lest we be judged. But what is judging, really? It is deciding that someone is guilty and punishing them. From a spiritual standpoint, only you, God, has got it like that. Judging is in your purview. Clearly, we are incapable of judging. With our limited information, especially the inability to judge one's heart, we are not able to effectively judge. Not to mention, we could never fashion a punishment that fits the sin. So, Lord, this morning, once and for all, we get it. We ask for forgiveness for trying to pull a microscopic-sized speck from someone else's eye when there's a huge beam in our own. Instead, we will concentrate on eliminating our heart trouble by doing what you have commanded us to actually do. We've been called to give. We have come up with a catchy and memorable phrase that this means we are to give our time, our talent, and of our treasure. I'm good with this, Lord, because I know you're good with it. Jesus, when you walked the earth, you gave us all of you, and we were called to give all of ourselves. If we really love you, God, with all of our hearts, minds, souls, and strength, we will be obedient to your word. Jesus, you told us to love like you love. You said that when we do, people will take notice. And it's true. When we repay evil for evil, indeed, we're just doing things the way the world does. When we gossip and find fault in what others are doing, we're just doing what the world does. It is only when we go against the culture and forgive that others will take notice that we are different, which will draw them to you and give you glory. We no longer want to be an embarrassment to you, Father, or more importantly, we do not want to be a bad witness causing people to be repelled from following Christ because of our hardened hearts. Lord God, your word is true. When we exchange a kind word for animosity, we can turn away wrath. Are we truly able to show forth love while simultaneously judging? The answer is no. As parents, we will stop telling our children they are condemned to prison for making one mistake. We will stop blaming family members for their illnesses because they don't eat right or do something else that we think that they should do or stop doing something that we think they should do. We will no longer be haughty and gleefully gossip about the firing of a coworker because, after all, they got what they deserved. Lord, if any one of us gets what we deserve, it won't be heaven. So we thank you for taking that hit for us, Jesus, so that we don't get what we deserve, so that when we are judged, we are judged according to the fact that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, not because of all the filthy, sinful things that we do. This morning, we put judgeful hearts on the altar. We will embrace the spirit of true love without judging. Instead, we will draw encouragement and inspiration from Jesus' acts of love, including how he responded to the woman caught in the very act of adultery. Lord, I just got to think about that for a minute. The way we behave down here, if someone were to literally walk in on another person engaging in adultery, oh, the judging that we would do. Oh, the judging that has already been done in times past when this has happened. Help us to remember the stories, the true stories of when you were here, Jesus, and how you dealt with that woman. Yes, she was guilty of that sin, but so were all of the people who were about to condemn us. Help us to remember that, Lord. We want to learn to meditate on the kindness of the father of the prodigal son who had squandered his inheritance. If anyone had it coming, it was him. He squandered his inheritance. Too bad. But that's not how the father saw it. The brother judged him, but the father didn't. So, Lord, you've given us all these examples throughout your word, throughout the life of Jesus, of how you want us to respond to one another. We recognize we have a choice, Father, and we choose you and your ways. And so we release right now all our cares, worries, needs, and wants into the only hands that are able to hold and handle them. Father, we pray that your will is done everywhere on earth. You said that your wishes that none would perish, but that all would have everlasting life. We stand on your word that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. We acknowledge, Lord, that if we keep our minds stayed on you, that you will keep us in perfect peace. Those are not just words, Lord. Those are promises from you. All we got to do is our part. Keep our minds stayed on you. And just like that song that was sang before we got started on this prayer, you'll keep us in perfect peace. Oh, we're safe in your arms. Let us not be selfish and to especially remember your charge to us to love each other as we love ourselves, and your even greater charge for us to love each other as you have loved us. You gave us an example. You showed us how it's done. This morning we talked about how judging one another interferes with loving one another. Let us take a moment to reflect on whether we are judging anyone. Are we judging anyone? Whether we've decided to step into your shoes and be God, that's what we're doing when we decide to judge another. Only you are the righteous and true judge. We repent right now and rededicate our lives to you. Let us remember that it is our obedience that you seek. You have not asked us to do anything we are incapable of doing. Thank you so much, Lord. We commit ourselves into your hands once again, seeking your face and asking that you would heal our nations, fully aware that as your people call by your name, coming before you humbly, pledging to turn from our wicked ways is what will activate your promise of healing our lands. Lord, we know that there is a war that's raging between Russia and a less strong, well, I guess, depending on how you would look at strength, but then there's the issue with Ukraine, them trying to take over. And this past week, there was an incident where a missile launched in neighboring Poland. And we know that that nation is part of NATO. An alliance has been formed. And it looked like, as a result of that, there would be an escalation. But you put truth on that situation. You shine your light to show that it was a mistake, that it wasn't Russia. Lord, we just ask, just like with that situation, how you are shining the light and causing people to act accordingly, that's the next step, Lord. The light is being shined. Let the truth come forth, and then let us act on that truth. We pray for the true salvation of those in leadership of our nation. You said that the heart of the king is in your hands, and we pray that these people who are kings of our world, they may be called presidents, they may be called prime ministers, but we know that we could use the word king to describe them in terms of your word. We know that these people, that their hearts are in your hands. We ask, Lord, that you would soften their hearts. We pray that they will seek you, that they will make godly decisions. Let them every day acknowledge and be mindful that this is a stewardship, that these nations don't belong to them, that the people within them are not slaves. They have just been given stewardship. And let them be sober-minded about that responsibility. We pray for healing spiritually, mentally, and physically for the sick that may be among us. Watch over the mothers of our church. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for welcoming two people we've had on our prayer list for a while now. That is Tyrell Hamilton, the father of Running for Christ Ministries, and John McFaul, a pastor of our ministry. We see how you healed them on the other side. We will see. Indeed, we know that it's happened, and we may not see it fully until we're on the other side, but we thank you for welcoming them. Again, we don't get to tell you what to do. You know that each of them left a really big hole and that we're going to miss them. But you love them more than we could ever comprehend. So even in our grief, we give you thanks. There are others still with us that are suffering. We ask that you let them feel your presence so that they know you are there. Be with them every step of the way towards their healing and recovery, whether that's surgeries, convalescence at home, or in an institution. Let them know that you are there, and we are pleading that they will recover and that it will do so speedily. Help us to see that it is you, Lord God, that is with us, that it is you who is leading us into all righteousness. Help us to remember, Father, that you always permit those to find you when they earnestly seek you, and that you protect us. Help us to also remember that our days are numbered, and may that knowledge urge us to be about your business. For those who have recently lost loved ones, we ask that you comfort them by way of the Holy Spirit and by acts of kindness, especially from those of us who consider ourselves believers, so that they can see you through our works. Lord, you know that we're all different, so we handle grief different. Some take longer to get to acceptance. But please help us to remember that and show love and kind understanding when we are acting on your behalf. We place all this at your feet, our world, family, relationships, everything that's on our hearts, right here. We're leaving it at the altar. We will not move until you tell us to. We're going to cast all our cares on you, just like you told us to do. So please hear now, Lord, all of the individual requests that are being offered up from across the entire world of worshipers through this broadcast. And we once again thank you for this venue of Blog Talk and for listening to us. I pray, Father, that everyone listening is already saved or will be before this broadcast is ended. Please use this offering of praise, worship, and teaching to draw men and women to you so they accept your wonderful salvation. We also pray that those saved already will keep pressing on in the unity of our faith and the knowledge of your Son, Jesus, so we mature, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Father, we also recognize that in addition to those who are tuning in live, there will be some who will listen to this broadcast into the future. Some may be in a day, a week, but some may be in the distant future. Only you know what kinds of things that their world will be grappling with, what types of situations and circumstances they may be faced, what types of temptations they may have to judge their fellow brothers, the things that may make them not want to love and only hate. Only you know those things. So we ask, Lord, that this broadcast will be special for them, that they will get something from it no matter at what point in time they hear. So let them not only hear but pay close attention. We pray that you open their physical and spiritual eyes so they see and understand. And we pray for these souls, Lord. Please give them a word for them in their time. And Heavenly Father, we know that you will do this because the word says that you are a faithful God, keeping your covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love you and who keep your commands. So we bring these petitions to you as we proclaim you as King, acknowledging you to be that you are, as eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only God. We end this prayer by joining heaven, declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." We say to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And now we seal our prayer in the name, the great name, that one day every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess is Lord. And that great name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Power and prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Deaconess June Rogers, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and have the best day ever.
To God be the glory.
Amen, amen. All right, so far we are having a great time this morning with more to come. I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today and just share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God, the best part, icing on the cake. Following the selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is the man of God, Brother Elder Pastor Joseph Stevens. Prepare to receive Elder Pastor Joseph Stevens as he come in his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Confused. I know I heard you loud and clear, so I followed through.
try to pray. All I got is her and these four words.
God, we just thank you for all that's been said and done. Father God, we bless your holy name. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father God, may we be challenged, may we be changed, and Father God, may we be open to doing more of your word and your will. You said, the psalm said, thy will be done, not ours, not mine, not yours. Thy will be done. And Father God, we just say it so. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, good morning, Pastor O, Sister Sheila, Running for Christ Ministries and Blog Talk Radio. Pastor O, I have to say, I did not get on right away, but you are wrong for going to the Autobahn over in Germany and speeding with these songs you have played. I got on, it was Brian Cage. I can't even think of the name of the song now, but I was like, oh, my God. Then you tried to slow it down with Safe in His Arms. But that song has some powerful words and meaning behind it. Sister Deaconess June Rogers, Prayer. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. And then thy will be done. Oh, Lord. We just thank you. Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Scripture has been bouncing back and forth on and off my mind for a couple of weeks or more in daily Bible reading, things that have come up about joy, things that come up with Galatians 5:22 and 23 in it. I ran across the other day, Journey into Christlikeness, a study of the fruit of the Spirit based on Galatians 5:22 and 23 by Tommy C. Hegel. Tommy C. Hegel. In that book, four of the 13 lessons were becoming the person God wants you to be, how to be a productive Christian, finding joy every day, producing the fruit of the Spirit. Pastor O, this was a book we used at Mount Zion from October 20th, 2009, through February 2nd, 2010. And I'll say, it's good to go back and reread books and teachings for new revelation. We should always be reading the Bible daily for new revelations. I've even been reading about joy and hope on YouVersion, the Bible app on my phone. So today, my subject is, is my fruit pleasing God? Is my fruit pleasing God? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Basically dealing with our relationship with God. Patience, kindness, goodness. Dealing with our relationship with people. Faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control, our relationship to ourselves. Many times we do not think about how our fruit or lack of fruit has an effect on Christians, effect it has on Christians and non-believers. Now, we battle daily against ourselves, our flesh, Satan, and the world.
Here's what I found.
Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But how many times have you heard it quoted? Kill, steal, and destroy. If he kills us first, he don't need to steal. But he comes to steal our hope, steal our faith, steal our trust in the Lord. Then he goes on to kill us, trying to get us to do something that's against the will of God. And he goes on to destroy us, continue in that vein. Ephesians 4:27, the easy reading version says, don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Let me say that again. Don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Remember, Satan only has the power we open up to him. But we have freedom because of Christ. Love our neighbors as we love ourselves. It's a scripture. But also, one of the problems is some people do not love themselves. So they can't love others as Jesus has loved them and as they should be loving themselves. They have not fully received God's love. And we know that there's no love that's greater than God's love for mankind. Victor Thompson, Reverend Trotter sent me this song this morning. It says, dependable, dependable God. Just a few of the verses. Intentional, intentional God. Thank you for loving me too much. Oh, unconditionally, Lord, for loving me. What would I have been without you? You are A to Z and everything in between. Oh, thank you for loving me. Galatians 5:22-23, English Standard Version says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. I've heard Christians quote this verse and say, fruits with an F of the Spirit. Fruits leave the impression we can get one at a time. No, we need all the fruit right now. Amen. An orange has skin and sections that make up the complete orange. We can peel the orange and eat the sections one by one. We can eat several sections at one time, but it's still the orange who has skin, meat, seeds, core, hull, all make up the apple. Some eat the skin and meat of the apple. Some peel the skin and eat the meat. Some eat the entire apple, skin, meat, seeds, and the core. But we need the entire fruit of the Spirit. We need love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and temperance, which is self-control in our lives to be Christ-like. How many of us struggle to be patient with others, yet wanting God to be patient with us? How many of us struggle with being long-suffering with others, but want God to continue to be long-suffering with us? How can we claim to be a Christian and lack kindness and self-control? Think about it. Our lack of kindness and self-control has a negative effect on others. How many have said or had others say to you, this is just the way I am? If it is, that's the problem. Aren't we new creatures in Christ? Can we be gentle or kind and lack the love of God? Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm only a noisy bell or a ringing cymbal. We cannot do or keep any part of the word by ourselves. Let me say that again. We cannot do, keep any part of the word by ourselves. We need the seed of the Holy Spirit living and producing fruit in our lives as Christians. Matthew 21:43, New International Version says, there tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruits. That's powerful. We cannot bear fruit if our hearts have not changed. We cannot be mean, unforgiving, unkind, and self-serving and bear or produce fruit. Galatians 5:16-18 in the Standard Version says, say that again, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, what Spirit is that? The precious Holy Spirit. You are not under the law. Paul dealt with the sinful things we do in verses 19 to 21. But I don't have time to go through all of them today. Read and study them verses for yourself. And do not get drunk with wine, version, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. Filled. If you look in the Strong's, it's to make replete. Level up, to furnish. Replete, what was the, I had to go back and look up that word. Fully or abundantly provided or filled, according to Webster. Fully or abundantly provided or filled. So one filling is not enough. We must continually be filled and refilled and refilled and filled and refilled again and again. I'm going to date myself. Commercial years ago said it was Brill Cream. A little dab will do you. Brill Cream had to be applied daily. We need to apply God's word daily for correction, reproof, and training. God prunes us with the word. God is far more concerned with our character than our comfort. Tommy C. Hegel. Hebrews 4:12, English Standard Version says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So the word of God goes deep into us as we allow it to change us, to prune us, to deliver us, and to lead us to do the will of God. Salvation was instant when we accepted Jesus Christ, but sanctification and spiritual fruit is a process, a journey to be fulfilled. Love, joy, peace, our relationship with God. Our relationship with God must flow to other people. John 13:34-35, English Standard Version says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. 35, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's powerful. That's powerful. We have to love one another. And people will know that we are God's disciples by the love we show to one another and have for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. But we need to do some work on that too. Love is found 365 times in 334 verses in the King James. But we need God's agape love, the love we do in this world. Too often, we'll give some love scriptures later, but too often we look for joy and peace in material things. But what is the biblical meaning of joy and peace? Joy, kara, kara, C-H-A-R-A, means cheerfulness, calm, delight, gladness, being exceeding joyful, strong. peace. Irenae. One peace. One peace, quietness, rest, set at one again, the strongest. I want to ask the question, how and where do we find peace in this troubled world? How and where do we find peace, joy and peace in this world? We find both in the Word of God. Amen. Love, joy, peace. Walk in it. Walk it out. Trust God through the process. Matthew 5:44, King James. But I say unto you, love your enemies. So we're not just folks love our Christian brothers and sisters. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So we're supposed to love everybody. 6:32 in New Living Translation. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. John 15:12, New Living Translation. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. And then when we look at joy, we, as I said earlier, too often we look for joy in worldly things or material things. But joy, our joy is promised. Psalm 16:11, King James says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence, fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Isaiah 12:3, King James. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. John 15:11, New Living. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Acts 2:28, New Living. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. Romans 4:7, New Living Translation. Oh, for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Holy Lord. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then spiritual peace is Psalms 4:8, a couple verses. I will read our King James translation. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. Safe in his arms. Safe in his arms. Luke 1:78-79. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Peace is also a gift to God. Psalms 29:11, King James. And the next few verses I will be reading are King James. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And we know that Jesus promised every one of us peace. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We have to be open to the word of God. We have to be open to the help of the precious Holy Spirit. And John 15:8, English Standard Version says, by this my Father is glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. Don't let your hearts be troubled, but never be afraid, because in me, in my presence, is peace. Father God, we just thank you for your peace. We thank you for resting in your love. Father God, we pray that we can go daily walk and have the love, the joy, and the peace that you have promised us in your word. Father God, we bless your holy name. Father God, we thank you for peace in you, comfort in you, hope in you. We put our total trust in you and your word. Our relationship with you, Lord, must flow to others. Love, joy, and peace, which we must get right in our relationship with you before we can show those things to others. Father God, we bless your holy name. We praise your holy name. We thank you for all that you do. Father God, thank you for being the love that you are to us. Thank you for showing us your agape love, for letting us know that if we're seeking joy and peace, we have to seek it in your presence, in your word, and in your way. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Go and make disciples. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So go in love, go with joy, and go in peace. Amen.
Instead of pain, that's freedom, though you captured me. Amen. Amen. What an awesome song. What an awesome sermon. You know, the first thing that Elder Joseph Stephen said was how as you read the word and you continue to read the word and you go over scriptures that you've read before, you're supposed to get new revelation. And today, that's exactly what he brought to us. Because when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it's not the fruit of the Spirit, because that leans towards only being able to have one at a time or getting one at a time or being able to function in one at a time. But it's the fruit of the Spirit. And then how he broke them down, you know, the first few are how we relate to God, and the other few are, excuse me, how we relate to one another. And then the last two are how we relate to ourselves. Talk about new revelation, because I never even looked at those words that way. And I never processed it that way. So thank you. Talk about receiving a new revelation. And so we just thank God for Elder Joe Stevens. That's my cardinal. You know, always bringing us a word, and I'm always eager to hear what he has to say, because the way in which he brings the word to us is truly awesome. And that's one of the things that I love about all of those who come and preach here on Blog Talk Radio, is that everyone has their own way of bringing the word to us, and it's all broken down to where it always makes sense to all of us. And God knows who's hearing his word, and he knows what we each need to hear, no matter who is bringing it. So we just thank God so much for the revelation, the new revelation that we received today, and the fact that the Holy Spirit illuminated that word to Elder Joe Stevens, and he was able to bring it to us as clearly as he brought it to us. And so we're so very thankful for the word that was brought to us today. Amen. So good morning, everyone. Happy Saturday. It is the third Saturday of the month of November. And so by way of a couple of announcements, our in-person Sunday school and worship service have temporarily been suspended, but it's okay because you can still worship with us here on Blog Talk Radio on our platform, and we know that you're all here. Amen. So tomorrow, Sunday, November 20th at 10 a.m., we will be having our Sunday worship service right here on Blog Talk Radio. Pastor O will be bringing the preached word to us, continuing in his sermon series that he just started last week in 2 Thessalonians. Also, every Monday at 6 p.m., we have our church history class. The teacher, of course, is Pastor O, and the textbook is The Church That Jesus Christ Built, which is written by Pastor O. And so it's never too late to participate. I know the class is over in about a month. I believe Pastor said December 15th, so we're, you know, just about there. But again, even if you get in on the last class, it's never too late. And the book is a book to have, and it's not just a book that needs to be read during class or for class, but it's a book to have to read all the time. Amen. Just like Elder Joe said, you got to go back. It's good to go back and reread things that you've already read, again, to get new revelation. So it's never too late to participate in the class, but you will need Pastor O's book. And so if you still would like the book, please visit Pastor O's website, pastorgmo.com, www.pastorgmo.com, to still be able to get the book. Even if you're not participating in the class, you can still have the book. Amen? And for whatever reason you can't attend the live classes, all the classes will be recorded and are posted on our church website weekly. Church website is rfcm.org. Just go to the Bible classes link and then click on the history of the Christian church recorded at a time that is more convenient for you. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible reading class here on Blog Talk Radio. Keitha Freeman will be teaching from the book of Jeremiah, chapters 11 to 15. So the questions are available, again, on our church website, rfcm.org. Just click on the Bible classes tab, or if you are on pastor's email list, they have already been emailed out. Also, every Friday at 7 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is here on Blog Talk Radio with her show, Bring Back the Family. So don't forget to tune in and participate and give her your support on that. Saturdays, every Saturday at 11:30 a.m., Pastor Janet Tate has her women's Bible class through Bondage Breakers Ministry, which is her ministry. So for more information to participate in the women's Bible class that's taught by Pastor Janice Tate, please make contact with her, and she will tell you how to get in on her class. Amen. Also, as a reminder, that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and best of all, they are free. Okay, I say it all the time. You can get your whole Christian life together just going to Blog Talk, and you can go all the way back to 2009 when it was just Pastor O on here, scared to death, on here for 15, 20 minutes at a time, and then went to doing what the Bible says for 2 hours a day, every single day, for years, by himself. Amen. And then here we are all now, coming alongside Pastor, helping him out. But you can get your whole Christian life together on Blog Talk Radio. All you have to do is go to our church website, rfcm.org, and click on the Blog Talk Radio tab. Amen. If you would like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, rfcm.org is the place to go. Just click on the tithes and offerings tab. If you would like to give a love offering for Elder Joe Stevens, who brought the word to us today, again, the church website is the place to go. Click on tithes and offerings. Just remember to specify his name when you're giving your offering, and we will see to it that he receives it. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with him. Amen. So Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Amen. We eagerly anticipate this new heaven and this new earth. But until then, we got business to handle. Amen. Amen. So we just want to continue to ask for prayers for Nico Gaston, Deacon Rachel Rogers, all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Shura, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Continue to pray for our president and our vice president, leaders of our country, as a major change has happened that could affect us. But we know that God will take care of us and protect us from the evil one. Amen. Elder Joseph just said, trust in the word, believe in the word, trust in God because he's God. Amen. We don't have to worry about anything because God is God. We don't have to help God do anything. Amen. He can do everything. Amen. So just also please continue to pray for our youth everywhere as they are always facing challenges. Pray for all those who are bereaved and mourning and grieving, you know, all those families everywhere that the count just doesn't stop. And please continue to remember the entire McFaul family as well as our own church family. And also please continue to keep Mother Cheryl and the Hamilton and the overall family in your prayers as well. Deaconess June Rogers, I love to hear her pray. It's just like she's reading like a love poem, and she is just so thorough. I love to hear her pray. And so we know that the list of things to pray for is inexhaustible, so we just ask that you continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Amen? And in saying that, we are approaching the holidays. I don't think we're approaching them actually at this point. I think we're officially here. We are less than a week from Thanksgiving, and we know that this is a very, very difficult time of year for so many people for so many different reasons, all of which are completely known to God. Just because you see a person and they look like they're all right, you don't know what they're going through. So that's why the fruit of the Spirit, that patience, that kindness, that gentleness, all of those things are things that we have to project out onto others because we are the only Jesus that people see. Amen. And so let's remember to be kind and compassionate and considerate and caring of others, not only at this time of the year, but all of the time. Amen. When you look at the fruit of the Spirit, Jesus, that is Jesus. Every single one of those things was embodied by Christ. That is the picture of Christ. And so if we are here to represent Christ, then those are things that we need to be projecting onto others as well, giving those things to people, helping people in those things when they're struggling in those things. Those are things that we are responsible for doing because we are new creations in Christ. Amen. So, again, in Genesis 1:1, it says we have all been created in the image and the likeness of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we should be given that same love, kindness, mercy, grace, and forgiveness that's given to us or even sometimes expected by us, as Elder Joseph Stephen says. We can't give to other people what we're not willing to, let me not say it like that. Let me take that back and rerun that. We can't expect God to give to us what we're not willing to give to others. So that same forgiveness and that same kindness and that same love and that same mercy and that same grace needs to be given to others, especially because we expect it from God. Amen. So it's definitely a two-way street. Amen. So just remember to show that, especially this time of year. Amen. Amen. So happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who have celebrated their birthday this past week or celebrated their birthday or celebrating, I should say, their birthdays today. Happy birthday to London, who celebrated on the 3rd, Tamika, who celebrated on the 6th, Tariq, who celebrated on the 12th, my rock star, Jackson, he celebrated on the 17th. He's so cute. He's one of our junior praise team singers, and when we're singing our closing song, he goes up there and truly gives a performance. So he celebrated his birthday on the 17th, and I am his number one fan. Amen. Destiny will be celebrating her birthday on the 21st, and Marisi Boo, one of my favorite people, she will be celebrating her birthday on the 29th. Amen. So happy, happy birthday. Love, hugs, and kisses to all of you. Amen. Amen. So your devotional for today is entitled, What's Your Weakness? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. I hate to admit it, but honesty demands it. I have a weakness when it comes to sweets. I just love a good dessert, and I love to run it back for round two. I think to myself, surely that second piece of pie will taste even better than the first piece, especially if I add a little ice cream this time. I remember when my dear friend got me a T-shirt for Christmas, and it simply said, I beat anorexia. He still laughs over that gift. He knows how much I like to eat and how weak I am when it comes to saying no to the dessert menu. Excuse me. So, your weakness, let's face it, weaknesses are something none of us like, but all of us have. Our weaknesses are not the same. Some are weak when it comes to physical appetites and the lust of the flesh. Others are weak when it comes to the issues of jealousy, anger, worry, greed, or pride, just to name a few. Whatever your weaknesses might be, I have good news. The Lord Jesus can sympathize with it. He doesn't excuse it, but he does understand it because he was tempted to the nth degree in all things as we are. The difference between him and us is that he never succumbs to the temptation, not even once. Because he never sinned, he is our perfect sacrifice who made a way for us as sinners to draw near to a holy God. He tore the veil in two when he died for us on the cross. The throne room of heaven is now wide open for those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. We can draw near to God with a great confidence and receive his grace, a grace that will help us in our time of need and in our area of weakness. Don't let the devil deceive you. The devil is a master at pointing out our weaknesses and sins. He tells us, you can't come before God. Look what you did. Look how sinful and awful you are. But he is a liar and the father of lies. The truth is, we can come straight to God's throne of grace if we come with true repentance and sincere humility. When we come in contrition or contrition, from whichever tribe, with a contrite heart, okay, that's what I'm saying, he receives us, cleanses us, and pours out his grace, his undeserved favor and power upon us to help us in our time of need. He is a good God who knows everything about us and still loves us, even when we fail and fall. Let me encourage you to take time each day to thank the Lord for his everlasting love. Make your way to his throne on a continual basis. As you do, you will find his amazing grace and sustaining power to enable you to stand strong in the trials and temptations of life. You and I cannot make it happen without him. So let's quit trying, start trusting, and take God at his word. Amen? So just one last thing. This is my little sidebar. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So on behalf of everyone at Running for Christ Ministries, we would like to wish all of our Blog Talk Radio family and friends a wonderful, blessed, safe, and happy Thanksgiving. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements and borderline mini sermon. Amen.
Okay. So, yeah, there you go. Go on, throw that in there. Because you know what's up. You know you was preaching.
Yep.
You know you was preaching. Yeah, opened up a Bible class, then started preaching, then started praying. I'm like, all you need to do is to sing a song, have a whole church service.
I don't understand.
But that's why we love you, Crystal, because you bring it.
I don't even understand what's happening.
I don't know what's going on here. I heard that in one of my rap tunes. What's going on in here?
What's happening?
Ooh, it's awesome. But when you get sermons like that, I mean, you know, it started with Mother. She started with the scripture and prayer. It's always so good to hear her voice, you know,
so
because she's president of the Mother's Board and, you know, a great example, not just to the women in the church on how to be good wives and good single women, okay, but also to the men as well, you know. Been with the Lord a long time, been up and down some hills, but went up and down with faith and trust in God. So we thank God for her. And, of course, you say Deaconess June Rogers, I'd be opening my eyes and peeking because I'd be like, did we just pop up right in the throne?
Yeah.
Because she reminded me of who was that? Isaiah, when he went into that room and the Lord fixed him where he could work for him. I was like, Lord, are we there?
Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
So we thank God for her. And, of course, the preacher of the hour.
Yes,
Joseph Stevens. You know what's amazing about him is he's a member of another church, right? But his pastor allows him to preach with us and hang with us.
Ooh.
Amen. And but he is with us. He is always on the same page we are. And
always.
I know how
don't even go
it
to our
is
church.
To receive
Lord,
a sermon. And I know he struggles. He's like, Lord, is this it? And yes, this is it.
Yeah.
And then the whole service wrap around that. And give
amen.
So. That's just, it's awesome. I'm ready to preach.
Awesome.
I think I should take
it. No.
Let me read it. Wait till tomorrow.
Wait till tomorrow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Everybody like, oh, no, Pastor.
No.
That's it. This is my. Okay,
no,
then.
We
well,
June
I'm going to hold it till tomorrow.
You talking about you going to preach. No, we can't take no more.
I just blame it on Elder Stevens because, you know.
Yeah. It's his fault. Absolutely.
Got me all fired up over here. Amen. Maybe Holy Ghost was preaching. Amen. And singing and dancing. But, you know, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it, Crystal. I'm going to tell it. I went to open Cat's mic, right, so she could announce the altar call.
Uh-huh.
Girl, sister was over there at her house having church. She was singing, and I
that's
say,
how it
Lord
goes.
Have
you play
mercy.
Them songs. We all get our praises on wherever we at. We play them songs, and we get to get no matter where we are. Sometimes we got something to do.
She was really going in, so I started going
amen.
In with her, and we was
hey.
So
I'm
I thank
you.
God for her. You know, she's a huge help to me in this Blog Talk Radio thing. She's been around since the beginning. Well, she helped me to begin. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been a huge help ever since 2009, just like you. You look crazy self. Been in every Bible class. You was in all them 2-hour classes.
Gee,
you and your mother.
Yes.
This girl been listening a long time. And when I listen to you, I can tell you are really listening because you learned.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for that. So
amen.
Be blessed,
me
Crystal.
Too.
Have
amen.
A funner day. And tell Amir I said, what's up?
I sure will. Thank you.
Yeah, you heard that.
Oh
your funner day.
I heard it. I'm not even going there. Lord have mercy.
Ooh,
you
Jesus, see how you
amen.
Make me
love
happy.
You, Pastor. Oh, no,
yeah,
sir.
Love
you,
Pastor. Too, Crystal.
It's
all your fault.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
Have a wonderful day. Like Kat says, and have a wonderful day.
And have a wonderful day. Amen.
All right, see you later.
All right.
Amen. God bless y'all. Amen. We had a wonderful time today. I want to thank Elder Stevens, you know, for that awesome word. I know what it takes to come up with a word and allow the Lord to fill you up with a word and then preach that word, especially here on Blog Talk Radio when ain't nobody going to say, amen, preacher. You know, you just have to preach in front of Jesus and mean what you're saying and say what you mean. And amen. He does that every single time that he comes on. So I thank God for him being willing to share with us here for so many years at Runner for Christ Ministries on the steady. Amen. So we thank God for him and for everybody else, especially Mother and June and Kathy and all of you who tune in and Blog Talk Radio family all over the world. We really do love you. We ain't just saying that. And I want to acknowledge this morning all of those who are, one second, I just saw something I need to see before I go any further. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. Okay. So I got that. Amen. Now I forgot where I was going. Amen. Amen. Anyway, but I did get to see something I needed to see real bad. But we thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for all of the of you tuning in and blessing us like you do. Anyway, I got a little announcement here I need to make. Next Wednesday, okay, we're going to be out in front of the church as usual from 11 to 1. It's going to be a couple of hours. Okay, we're going to be having a giveaway. We got a few cans of corn and green beans and some chicken broth, all the stuff you might want to add to your Thanksgiving dinner if you know somebody who needs that. Let them know we'll be out there. We're also going to have some toilet paper, some paper towels, and more. Okay, we will have some gift cards as well as some Christian hats, and I'm going to be giving away maybe 5 or 10 of my new books. Everything is on a first come first serve basis, so be sure to show up. That's Wednesday, November 23rd. Right out in front of the church. The church is located at 27085 West Arter Drive, Ecorse, Michigan. The reason I had the Ecorse, Michigan, because somebody went to 27085 over in Detroit somewhere. So it's Ecorse. Arter Drive goes a long way, okay? But we're in Ecorse between 11th and 10th Streets, okay? 27085 West Arter Drive, Ecorse, Michigan, 48229, located between 11th and 10th Streets, right on the corner of our drive. We'll be there doing the giveaway. So come on out, and yeah, I know it's the day before Thanksgiving, but don't let that bother you. Thanksgiving, somebody just got that. Oh, so they're going to be out there giving thanks to God and giving. Yes, we are. So come on out Wednesday, November 23rd, 27085 West Arter Drive, Ecorse, Michigan, at 11 to 1 p.m. If you want to help set up, you can get there at 10, okay? Amen. If you want to help set up, if you've done nothing else to help people in need this year, come on out Wednesday. You can fix that. At least you, one day this year, you came out. We'll be praying for people who need prayer. And they ask for that more than anything else. And we'll be rededicating people who might have slipped away from Jesus and want to come back. And we'll be leading to Christ those who have made a decision to give their lives for Christ. So if you want to get involved in real Christian work, we'll see you Wednesday. If you want to help set up, 10 a.m. If not, come at 11 o'clock. Okay, we're going to be giving away stuff. So if you got something you want to give away that can help people for Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays coming up, well, you know the place to be. Amen? Amen. Again, thank everybody for tuning in. Oh, yeah, Jesus just reminded me, you need to go and thank those people all over the place. We always talk about them. We say everybody all over the world. Let me just pick a few of them and let you know where God is, where you just preached to, Elder Stevens. You were talking to a whole lot of folks over in Canada. Watch this, Elder Stevens, and Kat and June and Mother, you were talking to a whole lot of folks over in South Korea. We shout out to the folks in South Korea. Shout out to the folks in Japan. And shout out to all the listeners over in India. Yes, Little Bitty Runner for Christ Ministries is worldwide. Thank you, Jesus. I had no idea when he was setting this up that he was going to go that far with the word. We are all over Africa, y'all. We are in South Africa. We are in Zambia. We are in Kenya. We are in South Sudan. We are in North Sudan, if that's the thing. We are in Nigeria, and we are in Ghana, as well as Sierra Leone. We're in Spain. We're in France. We're in Germany. We're in the United Kingdom. We are in Sweden. We are in Finland, okay? So God has us all over the place, and we are even in Latvia. I can't even hardly say that. But the Lord has got us, we have a small foothold in all those places. And when I came on here to do Blog Talk Radio, as you heard Crystal talk about, it was simply to get the 7 or 8 people who couldn't make it out to Bible class because they work. Their lives are busy, right? So we set up Blog Talk Radio so that they could click in anytime they wanted to at their convenience. And so we thank God. We had no idea he was going to go all over the world, but he knew what he was doing. Amen. And so the Lord have kept his word and made all things work together for the good of us who love God. And we are all called according to his purpose, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. Amen. So God is not just blessing us at Runner for Christ. We are worldwide. Unbelievable. Whoever thought? Amen. So don't underestimate God, and don't ask him about little stuff. He's a giant God. You better think of something giant and ask God for it. The Lord say, test me and see if I won't. Amen. Amen. So now let's get ready for the benediction. May the Lord God bless you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace till we all meet again. Amen. And the whole church said, amen. See you later.
Listen up, here's what you must do, yeah. to be right here and say,